Welcome to the home of 100 to 1 Faith Radio. My name is Larry Gent, and this is the place for stories of miraculous faith in the face of impossible odds. Today we share the message for July 14, 2019, from Grace United Methodist Church in the beautiful Hartwood community of Virginia. Our scripture for today is Genesis 4, 3 through 15. And the title of the message is, Dost Thou Well to Be Angry? In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, Let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said, What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I'll be hidden from your presence. I'll be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. But the Lord said to him, Not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. Have you heard the story about the fellow who was rescued after many years on a desert island, and even though he was there alone, he was showing everyone proudly all the buildings in the little city he had put up, all except one building he didn't want to talk about. They finally asked him, What is this building? And he said, Oh, that's the church I used to attend. We don't talk to those people anymore. Well, last week we talked about how it's possible to have chaos in your heart, even in the best of situations, to have chaos in a perfect marriage, to have chaos in a perfect job, to have chaos no matter where you're at. And you know, it's even possible to carry anger and emptiness right inside the church. This story represents a congregation of two. Cain, the older brother, was the longtime member. He'd been making offerings longer than Abel had been alive. And yet suddenly, God likes Abel's offerings better. There's no explanation why. There's no room for why, because God's the one who caused the problem. How did this happen anyway? How did Cain even find out that Yahweh liked Abel's offering better? Did the Almighty Jehovah go to church that day and say, I just love me some sheep barbecue. And as for the grain offering, it's getting a little tired, don't you think? Let's try a little harder next time, okay? Or was this a case of the little brother peeking out from behind a rock and saying, Hey, Cain, guess what? God likes me the best. Ah, ha, ha. It sounds downright silly when you think of it. Maybe that's the whole point. I know it wouldn't happen in your family, but there are some families where sisters and brothers get upset with each other, and they don't even have a good reason. There's no rational explanation. As hard as that is to believe, here's something that's even harder to believe. I've heard that this can actually happen in the family of God. Can you imagine that? At one point in my educational experience, I was on the board of review for student applications. I was the student rep who read the letters of application to go into seminary. And as I read them, they all began to sound pretty much the same. There was a theme that seemed to keep coming up over and over again, where these folks would say, you know, I've tried working in the secular world, and it's just a dog-eat-dog world out there. But you know, what I want to do is just go to work in the church where everyone loves each other and we cooperate all the time. And I just wanted to go and find those people and say, wouldn't you like to follow me around for a month before you bet your life on the idea that everywhere you go, everybody's going to love everyone? I'm afraid it's true. Sometimes people do get upset for no good reason, even here in the church. And sometimes the most unreasonable person of all is me. I know it's really hard to believe this part, right? That sometimes God finds me out behind the barn sulking. God looked around and found Cain mad for no good reason. And God said, and I love the King James Version here, Cain, dost thou well to be angry? Sin is crouching at the door. This early in the Bible story, the power of sin hasn't yet been given a personal name, but it's there just the same. And it's hungering for you, Cain. The word is actually a kind of unholy lust, a desire to consume and overwhelm. I can't count the number of times God has come to me and said, Larry, baby son, dost thou well to be angry? Sin wants to eat you alive. Dost thou well to be angry for no good reason? And I always answer, yes, I dost. Of course I dost. Didn't you see how that guy cut me off when I clearly dost have the right of way? And look at him now, weaving in and out, driving in the HOV lane all alone, and no cops dost catch him. It's not fair for you to let him get ahead of me, God. You just like him better than me. Well, Cain didn't have an express lane, but Cain took matters into his own hands nonetheless. He couldn't bear the shame anymore. He couldn't bear to face his brother one more time. And in an instant, sin ate him alive. But the mark of sin cannot be hidden. God always comes seeking the lost brother. And the stain of sin always cries out from the earth. What have you done, Cain? You let sin consume you. And now you must wander with that stain of guilt for the rest of your life. Now comes the most pitiful part of our story today. The murderer who showed no mercy cries out for mercy. The one who could not bear his shame cries out that the shame is too much to bear. And God, in his mercy, does not strike him down, God marks him with an indelible seal and says, "You will never outrun your shame, Cain, but you are marked with my sign of protection. No one will ever be allowed to take vengeance upon you." Now, in the story, this mark is not quite a sign of resurrection, but in time, that mark of Cain grew into something else. You see, we all, like Cain, have been marked by our anger. We've all struck out at sisters and brothers for no good reason. We all bear our guilt, and sin, crouching at the door, has consumed us. But that's not the end of the story. That mark is not all we bear. You see, we have now been sealed with the cross. Yes, it's a mark of condemnation and shame, but it does not stop there, because that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. Yes, what was once a mark of execution has become a sign of resurrection. What was once a sign of shame has become our sign of victory. Let no one boast, for we are all sinners saved by grace. But let none of us be ashamed, for the cross is now a sign for all the world to see. We are beloved children of God, and Christ has sealed us with the cross. We could not overcome the sin crouching at our own doors, but through Christ, God overcomes all things, even our unrighteous wrath, even our anger over things that make no sense. In Christ, we are all new creations, and we bear the guilt no longer, for the cross has taken it all away. Where once the earth cried out our guilt, now the heavens shout to testify our redemption. This world still does not make sense, and sin still crouches at the door. But we do not fear, for Christ has opened paradise. Christ has opened the door to glory, and all those who are marked by the cross are free to enter therein. Dost thou well to be angry? No, I dost not. Then dost thou well to be marked by the cross? Oh, yes, Lord, we do. Mark us all by the cross. Mark us all by your signs of grace and glory.